From the PSIA ASI Satellite Studios in Hood River, Oregon, I'm George Thomas. You're listening to First Chair, and we are on the line with Jonathan Ballou. Jonathan, you have had a very busy last few weeks.
Oh, I most certainly did, and I think I just spoke to you a week ago, so it's wonderful to do that again.
Really good to hear your voice. I've actually been thinking about you a lot this past week because you've been through four team tryouts, I believe, and this since 2008. I believe this is the first time you've seen it kind of from a new point of view.
Yes, this is actually my fifth one, George.
Fifth.
So eight. I've got one unsuccessful, three as a candidate. I'm sorry, I've got four as a candidate, a trialist. One unsuccessful, three successful, and one on the other side is a selector. So other than the administrative and coaching staff leadership, I've seen it from a bunch of angles. It's a really interesting process.
How did you feel when they asked you if you would do this as a selector this year?
To be asked to select is a huge honor. They actually asked me last year to a degree.
Oh.
Because I, you know, if you recall, I'm sure you do. Oh, it would have been 21, roughly the same time. It would have been a few days ago, and a few days before that as well, because we did two podcasts in 21 from Breckenridge in Colorado in the 21 tryouts. And I told you, I think we did one that was when there was probably the Wednesday cuts. We're going to the last day.
Yep.
And then we did another one right after the team was named. And I told you point blank on both of those that I'm going to be, this is my last tryout. So I was quite public that I was not trying out again. And then we did another interview, was it the end of last year or earlier this year, season? I can't remember when it was, but it was within the last 13, 14 months where that was confirmed. So that was quite public. So the powers that be asked me if I'd be interested in selecting, and I got a while ago, and I got an invitation.
You know, that interview was actually just about a year ago because it was after Interski.
Oh, it was too.
Yep.
Yeah, I was in my car. I remember that. Yeah, and driving around Aspen. It was right around National Academy that I wasn't at because I couldn't do both. I couldn't take that much time off of my full-time job, which is obviously still in the ski industry, but the work I do for Aspen. It was a huge honor, and it was a phenomenally interesting experience to be part of. The group of people who select are nothing short of extraordinary. I mean, you have multiple team members, multiple term alumni team member and industry leaders from multiple areas of the industry who all have wonderful perspectives on what this job is. And there's had to be 20 odd selectors there across the disciplines. And it shows how they go about that, having those, all of those voices in the room and the collaborative environment around that, with everybody being that dedicated to, like, as dedicated as anyone could be to the institution of the teams and preserving that and growing that and making and pushing that forward. And all of us want the team after us to be better than the team we were on, and that's the task we're on. And you take that over 30, in some instances 45 years or more of experience.
Wow.
On teams, you end up with some very diverse opinions about what should happen. And through that diversity, you end up with some truly exceptional combinations.
Now, I'm wondering, are there set standards from up on high where it's like, okay, here's what we're looking for. This person has to meet this, 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 and this. But then just because someone may meet those standards, there's got to be more to this.
This is a great question. The more to it piece is probably a great question to direct towards leadership, which I'm not part of. That's, you know, you're talking Dave and Jeb and Rogan and Matt and the other discipline coaches and various elements of leadership. But the criteria question is very clear. The answer is yes. You know, when we're selecting, I didn't see everybody do everything. I saw everybody do some things. And every one of my peers, and when I say peers, my mentors and the people who have just helped me become who I am in the industry who are also selecting, my idols, they also got to see something of everybody do something. But none of us got to see everybody do everything, which creates a cool way to look at this, because each thing we looked at had very specific criteria. It's not at all unlike, when I mean not at all unlike, exactly like the way we've put together national standards and learning outcomes and criteria, particularly the criteria. Each task, whether it's a teaching task, a movement analysis task, a set of skiing tasks, an indoor presentation, has very, very specific criteria that has been written from an academic perspective as to how it's supposed to be achieved. And it's our job to assess to the criteria. And then just like in the exam formats, we use the 6-point scale, which is based off a modified version of Fitz and Posner and skill acquisition, to hit certain targets. And then the pass-fail rate is the same, and then you just you tally it up from there.
So in a way, this is kind of the ultimate exam.
With more components. there's more stuff, there's more components, there's more interpersonal stuff, and different segments have different amount of weights in different areas. So, you know, the actual structure of it is really, I'm not the right person to ask about that. I'm a player in it. I'm a person who had the privilege of being part of the system, but I am not the architect. So you know the architects of the system as well as I do, and that architectural question should really go to them.
So I've just been thinking how hard this would be. I mean, you know so many of these people and are friends with a lot of them. And how you remove that kind of personal side and just stick to the facts. But if you have some standards that are clearly set out, you've got a standard there that you have to see this person meet. And I would think that would help you be so much more objective.
That's the job. The job is to be, humans are inherently subjective. Anyone who's listening to us talk right now who is an examiner in the organization knows that their job is to come up with an opinion on if you're doing a level 2 exam, and this is different, but there are elements that are very similar. And that's one of the things that the organization has done over the last, well, decade, but really 60 some odd years, is to become more standardized and to put more greater parameters on individual decision making. But examiners are hired and selectors are hired to be expert decision makers based on their expertise. And then the criteria that is added to us, whether it's a level 1, 2, 3 trainer exam, examiner selection, or this kind of epitome of that as a national team selection, is to focus the expertise of the people who are doing this through the criteria that we're given.
Now, there were a lot of people.
Every time? No. Does every number line up with every other person's number? No, but it's pretty darn close. The subjectivity is in values and perception and individual eye and way we look at things. But the criteria mitigates those deeply and brings them really very close together.
Now, there were so many people trying out. I couldn't believe it. There were close to 60 people trying out for Alpine, I believe. And
I think 60. Again, this is a great question for
okay.
the aforementioned people, but I think it was 65.
Wow. And that was just for Alpine, correct?
That was just Alpine. And I think there was 30 some odd for snowboard. And then I never saw the number for telly, but there was a bunch of them. So yeah, and you have a handful for adaptive, not more than a handful. There was quite a few. It was a hell of a representation. And my God, in each one of those areas, some truly inspirational people. You know, one of the nice things about being a selector is, this is a nice thing and not a nice thing. I stood on the side of the hill a lot. And what I saw, because not that much of Big Sky was open, was all of these people from each of these disciplines sliding past me at different times, whether I was standing there waiting for a group to come through and a snowboard posse came by and was teaching in front of me, or the adaptive crew was doing something, or the tele crew was doing something. I didn't see much of the Nordic crew because this is a different environment they use. But anybody who's using the lifts coming through doing stuff, I tended to see them. And geez, these people are really, really good at what they do. Like, they truly are the best in the country, all of them. And it just got better all week. Wow. Unreal. Totally inspirational thing to watch.
And I'm getting the feeling you actually didn't miss trying out. I think you really, I mean, you sound like you really enjoyed the job you were there to perform.
Oh, yeah, without question. I have no regrets. So we're pivoting now, but I have no regrets in the decision that I made to not try out. Am I going to miss it? Of course. The team is a wonderful institution that's been a huge part of my life, and I will miss the people, and I will miss being part of what they do. And at the same time, I'm stoked at the hands that is in now. And that crew is going to take it forward. They're going to crush it, and it's their time. And I'll do some other cool stuff, but they're going to do this, which is absolutely awesome. And it is the right group of people to do it.
On a week that sounds like it had a lot of high points, what were one or two of things that really stood out to you?
Oh, man. The evolution in teaching. We have gone from people at this level often being asked, like one of the times that I tried, not just one, two of the times that I tried out, I was asked to come with something to present as a, this is, let me back up for a second. This is pre teaching fundamentals, pre people skills fundamentals, actually pre fundamentals all the way around, right? We didn't have any of those. We had all of the other concepts out there that are just incredibly important that we need to maintain, such as the skills concept. That is the foundation of, from a technical side of things, how we operate. The learning partnership, that is a foundation for people and teaching skills that we have to maintain. Centerline, it's a foundational technical model. We have to keep these things. But what we didn't have is these fundamental components, particularly in the teaching people skills. If you recall, the teaching, original teaching fundamentals, even prior to that, were a list of the things that predated that, were a list of just very kind of transactional behaviors. And when I first started trying out, in an attempt to get something more authentic and less canned, we had things like bring a core belief and present it. And it was much more presentation-based at one point than it was teaching-based. People could do it teaching-based, but it was very presentation-oriented. And what I'm seeing, and not just in this tryout, but in a few, is an evolution towards really authentic, peer-based teaching. I mean, I saw a lot of examples, countless, because I just said there's 65 people, so it can't be more than that. So it's countable. But it's the overall level of how people engaged with each other to collaborate around learning outcomes was absolutely leveled up from the last one, which was leveled up from the tryout before that.
Yeah, I love hearing that, because actually teaching to your peers, that just seems like you're making so much more of a connection with the group instead of giving a presentation.
I couldn't agree more. The other side of that was, I think, what that the People Skills Task Force and Anne and Josh and that crew did with and Brian and that crew did with I'm forgetting some people, but those that stands out to me, who did the massive amount of work. DL was involved in that heavily from 2016 onward. It is obviously apparent in this environment. It was so much more positive and so much more collaborative from everyone. The vibe was just overwhelmingly supportive, and that just shows some really good bones to the organization and where we're going.
So last question for you, what was it like for you when the team was announced and you're not standing there going, please say my name, please say my name, please say my name?
Well, quite frankly, a little bit relieving because I didn't have any stress around me. All I had was the joy of seeing others that I truly respect being announced. And every person that was announced was their wonderful, unique industry leaders that are going to do phenomenal things with this industry. And if they've already done phenomenal things, they're going to do more. I can't wait to see what they do.
Well, Jonathan, I really appreciate you taking the time to chat with us. I'd really like to check in with you again in the next couple of weeks and maybe even go into a little bit more detail than we did tonight.
Anytime. George, I always love being part of your show.
Well, thank you so much. Jonathan Ballou joining us on First Chair from the PSIA AASI Satellite Studios in Hood River, Oregon. I'm George Thomas.